This is the Freedom Fiends. This is Michael W. Dean, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild, snowy Mountain West. Yes, it is snowing here today in Wyoming. The squirrels are out leaping through the backyard looking for bird seed and things to chew on when a couple days ago they were doing their mating dance where they jump up in the air and then jump on each other. And Nima Vidati is out today, so I don't know, some government agency, maybe the CIA, has implanted me as a clone in his place. I'm a clone of Michael Dean. Nah, I don't know. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. And we also have a couple other clones of people we know. We have a clone of Ben Stone. How are you doing there, clone of Ben Stone, the bad Quaker?
Hey, Michael, I'm doing really well down here in southern Alabama where it's going to be 80 degrees today.
I just swore at you in my mind. Whatever I just said to you can't be said on radio. Diana, where you are, yes. Diana is a co-host on Michael Dean After Dark, my nighttime show.
Wake up, America.
Wake up, America. I'm not the first person to say wake up, America on a radio show, but I'm the first person to say it on a nighttime radio show. It has a different meaning there, I think. Yeah, she has left the country. She is expatted for the weekend to Toronto, Canada, which is very near where I grew up in upstate New York. I could see it across Lake Erie. But you're there for the Bitcoin convention, right?
Yes, the Toronto Bitcoin Expo. Yes.
You know, I think there's a new industry developing of like libertarian radio hosts who, you know, were scraping by a living doing libertarian radio like I am, who now, I don't know if they're making a living or not, but I think they're getting flown around the world. There's like the same like four or five speakers at all of these.
That's
like,
true. Yes.
And they're all friends of ours. It's kind of funny.
Yes.
Where do I sign up? I want to be at the name. I want to be, well, when they start flying people out for the Namecoin conventions, maybe when they start having those, maybe I'll be that guy. And I do have an announcement to make. There's a really cool site now called it's bit.no.com, and it is a proxy site that someone has set up to allow you to surf.bit sites without installing my software, Meowbit with Derek, or Free Speech Me, Jeremy's software. So basically, I'm advertising for free something that would seem to kill something that I'm promoting, but it doesn't really kill it because a proxy doesn't really have the security functions that having that surfing.bit from your own blockchain on your resident computer with Meowbit does. But it's easier if you just want to check out some .bit sites. You can surf them and see them through this proc by entering them into this proxy page at bit.no.com. It's a pretty cool. It's kind of like training wheels for .bit. So what's going on there in Toronto? What have you be the man, the wool man on the street, giving us the street level view of the Toronto Bitcoin Depository or whatever. What's it called?
It's the Bitcoin Expo of Toronto.
Okay. I was thinking of the Texas Bitcoin Depository, which was what I was calling the other one. So go ahead and tell us about it, Diana.
Okay. The expo started yesterday morning for normal people like me who aren't part of the VIP or the premium group. They had some parties on, I think, Thursday and Friday night. But I got here on Thursday, spent the day Friday sightseeing. Saturday morning, I went to my first talk, and it was with, and they have overlapping talks, and so I had to pick and choose. And the first one I went to was for the Canada. It was the guy, I think his name is, he's got two first names, David, or Joseph David is his name, and he's the head of the Canada Virtual Exchange. And I listened to him, you know, quite a bit. And I have to say I didn't pay a lot of attention because the Canada Virtual Exchange is only for Canadian residents. So that kind of leaves me out. But then I went and listened to Jeffrey Tucker.
hang on a sec. What's the deal with, I was kind of intrigued by that. Like their laws are such there that exchanges have to be for those countries only. For people in those countries only, in that country?
Well, I wasn't necessarily aware that they have to be for that country only, but that's probably right because some of the things that Joseph, you know, spoke on was the fact that he has been working pretty closely with the banking system here, as well as Canadian Parliament. and that, you know, I got to be honest, that left a little bit of a, I guess maybe as a libertarian, voluntarist, anarcho-capitalist, left a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, there's always going to be, in any emerging technology, there are always going to be the cowboys, and then there's always going to be the people who want to work with the system, you know, and there is a lot of contention in the liberty movement and the liberty mission about people who want to comply with every regulation on cryptocurrencies. I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever, it's going to happen anyway, and people are going to do the other thing anyway.
Right.
And, you know, it's just governments trying to put their fingers in your pie that you made mm-hmm. and take a slice and smear it all over their face. So it's to be expected. So go ahead about Jeffrey Tucker.
Okay, so Jeffrey Tucker, I never actually heard him speak live before. I've heard him on podcasts, and I've also, you know, you and I have discussed some of his writings before, but I really enjoyed his talk a lot. He's a very dynamic speaker, and really got me fired up about Bitcoin. And you know, one of the first things he said, you know, he compared Bitcoin conferences and how they're different than libertarian conferences, because libertarian conferences tend to focus more on what's wrong, about, you know, police brutality and, you know, the government keeping us down, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas Bitcoin conferences focus a lot more on the positive and the future and how awesome things are going to be and how really this is just going to bring about libpair. So, and, you know, he talked.
Did he use the word libpair?
No.
He should. That's our word for libertarian paradise, and I wanted to catch on. You know, I have the domain name jeffreytucker.bit and laissezfairebooks.bit and laissezfaire.bit, and I've offered them all to him free for about 5 months now, and I think there's about a month left of they're free if he wants them and wants to start using them, and, you know, I'll walk him through setting it up for free. And I think it's going to, after about another month, when it hits 6 months, in a month or two, I think it's going to start going up in price from zero, from free, to like one more Bitcoin per month.
Oh, wow.
Same with Stefan Molyneux. I've got StefanMolyneux.bit, and I've got FreeDomainRadio.bit, and I've offered them to these like libertarian rock stars who should be jumping on this stuff because, you know, they're first adopters, they're or at least second adopters, and they're also They are more likely to have their dot-coms seized at some point by governments when this kind of talk gets really feisty and is outlawed at some point. Or, you know, I think they'll outlaw people with things like they won't say, oh, it's free speech, we have to outlaw it. I think they'll be like, oh, you used a picture of Bart Simpson on this blog post on your podcast 2 years ago. That's a copyright violation. We're taking your domain. I think that's what's going to happen. But there, I went from the solution to tyranny, which is not what I want to do. And I'm interested with what you're saying about how he was talking about how there's more hope at these conventions. I mean, some would say there's maybe that's false hope. Maybe we should be screeching about the government 24/7. And that I've had people tell me that my nighttime show, Michael Dean After Dark, which is I call it a game show where the loser is the first person to bring up tyranny. Right. I've had someone say that, hey, man, you're hiding your head in the sand. Yeah. You're ignoring the truth. And I'm like, the thing is, there's so much liberty media out there now, which is a great thing. And I've made it a personal vendetta to the world. No, a good vendetta. A personal goal to try to improve the audio of as many podcasts and radio shows as possible and help them out and help start them. And Ben Stone, you know, Ben, remember how we met? How'd we meet?
Well, you contacted me and told me that I had good content in my – you complimented me. I had good content in my podcast, but my sound stunk, and you could fix that. And you did. You made my podcasts – you made the sound in them sound really, really good.
Yeah. And Jeffrey Tucker and Stefan Molyneux already sounded good, but I can help them in other ways. But yeah, let's get off my petty beefs of how I'm trying to help you guys, and you're telling me, get away from me, kid, you bother me. So tell me more about Jeffrey Tucker.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, it was one of the things that I do think that we need to be aware, obviously. We need to know what's going on. We need to be, you know, informed, and it can be kind of a downer after a while if you have nothing to hope for. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, so yeah, everything sucks now.
And let me interject and finish a sentence I forgot to, because I hijacked my own sentences back there a minute ago, was that the reason I'm doing a show at night that has no tyranny, and that's the rule, is that there's enough tyranny media out there right now. I mean, there's so much stuff, and some of it's great, and some of it, like Alex Jones broke news, like with a crack research team, literally, this week. You know, he uncovered the secret documents of how Harry Reid was, you know, according to Alex Jones's team, like Harry Reid is doing some kind of backdoor deal with the Chinese energy concern to put in solar farms in Nevada. And that's why that guy was getting kicked out of there. It wasn't because to protect the tortoise. And in fact, the Bureau of Land Management had been killing tortoises a few years ago when they ran out of money for budget for 1 year. They were like, well, we were helping them, but now we can't. So we're going to euthanize them.
Yeah. So not only that, but wasn't it, I seem to remember some time in history where we were testing these big bomb thingies out there.
Yeah, think of how many turtles were killed by all the nukes tested there in the 50s, and probably killed them for decades after. I mean, you know, you drop a nuke, it isn't the end of the story. There's a thing called half-life, and it's longer than the lives of all the people on the earth ever. So go on about Jeffrey Tucker and the Toronto Bitcoin hootenanny.
So he definitely got me fired up. Like I said, he's a great speaker, and you know, one of the things he said was the powers that be can slow us down, but they can't win. And I was just like, yeah. So I was making a lot of noise.
Were you? Are you like a good audience member to have? Cool. I think that's why I picked you out of the crowd and said, hey, come sing backup with our band, basically, with having you, you know, I mean, you were just a smart person that I was chatting with, and I was like, you should be on radio. Let me put you on this show. You're up at night.
Awesome.
We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends with Diana and Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. Say worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Yeah. Sniff. Snark. Snark.
Yep. Opening a tasty beverage here on the Freedom Fiends. I had my wife give me a 3-minute back rub during during the break. Yeah, it was it's what I called it, a drive-by petting, which is something we have when there's like, the cats love to jump up on my bureau or my dresser or high things and look down at the humans, and I walk by them. And if I'm really busy, I'll literally just like pet them once as I'm walking by. I call it a drive-by petting. So my wife gave me a drive-by petting, and I'm in a little better mood now. I'm less cranky. Good. And I'm less like, why are people doing my bidding? So Diana, tell me more about Jeffrey Tucker at the Toronto Bitcoin hootenanny.
One of the things that, you know, and this is something that's just a reality about the fact that we've had central banking for 100 years is, you know, and Jeffrey talked about this a little bit, that we have lost a century in innovation in money due to central banking.
Ah, good point. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, once the Fed, you know, the Federal Reserve started, which I watched a little video about that last night, you know, just to kind of refresh me about what that was all about. You know, it was all very clandestine how it all started. And in case people don't realize this, because I think a lot of people really don't realize this, that the Federal Reserve is not part of the federal government.
Yeah, I've heard it said that it's as much of the federal government as Federal Express.
Exactly. Yeah, it's private. You know, obviously the Federal Reserve chairman is appointed by the president. You know, still, I mean, you know, obviously they're all in cahoots, but you know, it's just this sort of, I don't know, it's just kind of a slimy organization, really. And you know, all it's done is just kind of mess us up in terms of, you know, innovation and allowing, you know, the market to, you know, to decide things. And anytime we kind of let go and let the market, you know, decide things. And when I say the market, I mean us, I mean the people, things work out much better. You know, we get innovation, we get things like the railroad. And that was one of the things that, that Jeffrey Tucker compared, the development of Bitcoin to was the railroads.
I would say, I like where this is going, but mm-hmm. the railroads are not the way the American railroads were put in was kind of like the Federal Reserve before there was a Federal Reserve. It was done with corporatocracy, favors, backroom deals, and a whole lot of murder, a whole lot of Indian murder along the way. So, the railroads were not. I don't think they're a good analogy, actually, for Bitcoin.
Okay.
I will question him on that, but let's hear what he said.
Well, the analogy he drew was more about the headlines around railroads, which, you know, the obviously the development of Bitcoin. I mean, I don't think it's involved. I mean, it's definitely involved. You know, people have, I don't think, have committed suicide over Bitcoin, but that's kind of what the headlines want us to believe. It's what the media wants us to believe, that this Bitcoin thing is so out of control that people are going crazy and, you know, jumping off buildings and you know, money laundering and drugs and Silk Road and all this other stuff. So that's kind of, you know, the mainstream media, that's their focus, is all the bad things around Bitcoin.
Well, there's a saying in mainstream news, if it bleeds, it leads.
It leads,
meaning
right.
It mm-hmm. gets on the first page and the top of the TV show if there's blood involved. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so he really was comparing more of how the media treated the railroads to how the media is treating Bitcoin today. But maybe the media had a point back then for focusing on sort of the shady, bad things that were going on around the railroads.
Well, but without actually hearing Jeffrey's talk, what he was very likely talking about was the early development of the railroads before the government got involved. And the media demonized the railroads as being, you know, basically death machines that would kill everybody who rode on them. And this is like, we're talking like early 1800s before the railroad companies got in bed with government.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, and one of the things that he said too was that Bitcoin has unleashed market innovation that could have happened but for central banking.
I mean, I'm thinking about what innovations in money there's been in the last 100 years, and I would say pretty much the only one would be credit cards, which could have been done as a really good thing and have been done as a really bad thing because there is almost a monopoly or a cartel aspect to it, to where, like, you know, only a few people get to do it, and there's a lot of government regulation, and it could be done better in the private market. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends. Talk about Bitcoin.
Worms!
For a change.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
This is Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends, and I'm sipping on a cold FATCA, F-A-T-C-A. What's a FATCA, and why should we care, Diana?
A FATCA is the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act.
That sounds scary and government-y.
It is scary and government-y, and it affects American citizens. I've even heard, and the way it affects them is that any income, any banking, anything that you do overseas, say that you were born in the U.S. and you moved to Canada or you moved to Europe or wherever, the U.S. government can tax you on any income that you have, regardless of whether you live here or not.
Yeah.
And so the other thing,
you know, which is kind of interesting, because I've heard some right wingers that are very in favor of this, because they're like, we don't want people making lots of money in America and then moving out. They should pay their fair share. But those are basically what they're saying is, and I've heard left wingers say that too. And basically what that is saying is, if you've set foot on U.S. soil, you're a citizen and you owe, you know, your 40 pieces of silver to Nero. But some of those same people totally disregard the idea of, you know, if someone is like comes to America and has a baby, that their baby should be an American citizen. So there's not a lot of you know, they have one tune when they want to and another tune on the topic when they want to. So go on. Yeah. How did FATCA play into the Bitcoin conference?
Well, FATCA came in when there was a panel about Bitcoin. I have to go through my notes to remember exactly what it was called. But the gentleman I mentioned earlier, Joseph David, who's the head of the Canada Virtual Exchange, was asked a question. He was on this panel. He was asked a question by a woman who resides in Canada. She's a resident. Now, she's not a citizen, but she's a resident. But she was born in the U.S., and I'm not sure at some point in her life she moved to Canada. And she's very well aware of FATCA. And she had a question about it for Mr. David, and he wasn't aware of FATCA. And
that's mind-blowing to me that someone
really
who runs a licensed monetary exchange would not know a huge compliance law in a neighboring country that probably wants to do, you know, where probably people live who would want to use their service. Who a lot of Canadians live in America. It's not uncommon, and vice versa.
Yeah. Right. And as it turns out, you know, later on, his compliance person knew about FATCA, and the bottom line was, you know, Mr. David, you know, indicated, well, if the IRS ever contacts me about any accounts that we hold for U.S. citizens, I will comply. So, you know, and that's the bottom line with FATCA is that the IRS pressures, you know, banks overseas to basically give up any information they have on any assets held by American citizens. So,
yeah, they're making it harder and harder for people to make money in America doing honest mm-hmm. things, which basically drives everyone into the black market, I think, anyway, and that becomes the real market. But
to move overseas and give up their American citizenship.
Well, the thing is, yeah, it's like, They make it really hard to stay here, but if a successful business person wants to expat to another country, they make it really hard to do that too. There's a big leaving town fee, as they'd say on The Simpsons, and they're like, they'll yell at you. Like, I've heard of people, if they marry someone in another country and, you know, for true love and want to move there and take their fortune with them, even after the government takes 60% of their fortune. In some cases, it's economically advisable to rescind their U.S. citizenship, which is not the same as renouncing your U.S. citizenship, which is treason. But rescinding it is, let's say you're becoming a citizen of another country. You're going to permanently live there. You're not going to come back to the U.S. You're marrying someone there. And it's a country that doesn't accept dual citizenship. And you want to become a citizen of that country because you want to move your business there. You have to go through the ICE, I-C-E, Immigration Control and, you know, Executions or whatever that stands for. And you know, there's a process. It's a bureaucratic thing. You have to fill out paperwork. You have to go into a room and say, you know, with hand on heart, yes, I am no longer a U.S. citizen. And they yell at people in there. There's these people in there, like, who I've heard of stories of, you know, these people hired off a pizza box who, you know, they don't have any real sense of connection to America. They don't have any sense of, you know, they have patriotism to like the Department of Homeland Security, but not to anything about the history of America or what made it good back in the day in some ways. And they like they berate people when they're leaving America. Like, you know, they take all yeah. your money and then they kick you in the butt on the way out, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what else happened? Oh, Ben, you got something?
Yeah. In addition to what you're talking about with the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, it also says in it that what it calls United States persons or U.S. persons, the law applies to them as well. And this has got a really weird legal definition for what a United States person is. It's not just citizens. It is a citizen, any citizen, any person who's born here or is made a citizen or whatever. But it also includes, listen to this definition, an unincorporated association with a substantial number of members who are citizens of the U.S. So in other words, if you, let's say you live in Switzerland and you've been born in Switzerland and your family has been in Switzerland for seven generations and you know people over the internet that are in the United States, if according to this fuzzy logic that they use, if you know a substantial number of American citizens, then you become a United States person, even if you've never set foot in the United States, so, and you're not related like, to anybody who's in the U.S.
If you had 10 programmers working on an open source project that was not for money, and they're in different countries, and one of them's in America, they could use that on him.
Yeah, unincorporated association. Now,
wow,
you know,
they're kidnapping people, man.
Yeah, they really are.
And you heard about something? I mean, kidnapping in the sense of like we decide what you are when it suits us. Yeah, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, the IRS is also taxing people now. What did you say, Ben? What was the news item you had?
Oh yeah, this lady. It's been floating around a bit on the internet, but this lady started. She expected to get her tax refund back from the IRS because she had overpaid him for 2013, and they just took it. And she's like, "Why did you take my income tax return?" It turns out that her father, that died in like 1960, I think it was, when she was like 5 years old, her daughter or her father, who died in 1960, was overpaid by Social Security at the time of his death, and so now they come after her and her income after all these years. She was a child when this happened, and it was their mistake. It was Social Security's
mistake.
That's
like Old Testament-y, or like, you know, like at least medieval, like,
definitely,
you know, debtor's prison for the sins of the parent kind of thing.
Yeah, utterly ridiculous.
Another thing that the IRS has been doing in the past couple of years is sending tax bills to people who were born in America but never really lived here. Like, you know, they were born here and then their parents moved to Switzerland or to Germany or England or Venezuela or something. You know, literally like it's a wet foot, dry foot thing. You know, the wet foot, dry foot thing is a law that was used on people fleeing Cuba on rafts and, you know, nearly dying. And a lot of them died. And if they get one foot on land, they'd be given asylum in America and could eventually become citizens. But if they were captured by the immigration police or whatever, while they were 10 feet from the shore wading in water that's a foot deep, they could not become citizens. So wet foot, dry foot. I mean, that's kind of like wet foot when it suits the IRS, dry foot when it suits the IRS, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
In a very real sense, though, that's how all government laws are. I mean, it's just like the silliness of, okay, you're 15 and a half, now you can get a learner's permit to begin to learn how to drive. But you can have people who are 15 and a half who are completely incompetent and shouldn't be driving, and you can have people that are 30 and still shouldn't be driving, but skill has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
It's all this magic age that somebody passes.
Yeah, my dad could drive a car when he was 14 very well and actually could get a permit back then to do it in the 40s, 30s, because he's born in 21, I think. He's 93. I actually turned him on to Alex Jones yesterday because he keeps calling me up and be like, Michael, I hear they're stealing cows in Wyoming. What's the federal government doing to you people? And I'm like, I don't have any cows and it's not Wyoming. It's Nevada. And he's like, I heard about it, but I don't know. I don't have any news on it. It's not on the news. I've been watching the news. I'm like, it's all over the internet. And he's like, I don't know what that is, basically. So then he called me back the next day and was like saying the same thing. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to send you a video. And I sent him an Alex Jones video of Alex Jones talking about it on YouTube. I knew that if I sent him like an MP3, he wouldn't be able to play it. But if he just hit a link and he said he really liked it, he learned a lot from it. He couldn't see it, but he could hear it. What I'm thinking is it probably, like, you know, he clicked on it and then he had something else open in front of it and didn't know that, you know, at the bottom you can pick to put what you want in the front. But he heard it and it was good. So I'm going to start sending my dad Alex Jones videos all the time.
That's very cool that your dad is 93 and to some degree internet savvy.
Yeah. Yeah. And to some degree, liberty savvy. I mean, he still believes if we get the right men in there, we can get the Constitution restored and go back to the Republic, which is magical thinking, great man fallacy, and believing that America was ever, you know, that the federal government ever was nice to people or that states' governments are any better than the federal government at some levels. So tell me more about this conference.
Okay. Let's see. One of the things that Jeffrey Tucker mentioned, I'll just, you know, say one last thing about his talk, was that the main value of a fiat currency in the future will be to pay taxes.
Yeah. Well, it's legally required to pay taxes. Like, you cannot pay your taxes with gold or silver.
Right.
Or chickens, yeah, so. You know, chickens. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the meaning of this is legal tender for all debts, public and private, that's mm-hmm. printed on the money. It basically, yeah, that's what it is. It's tax money. It's money to pay taxes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then the next person I heard talk was Cody Wilson. And I heard him talk before at the New Hampshire Liberty Forum.
We're going to go to the market here.
Okay.
We'll come back with our synopsis from Diana about the Toronto Bitcoin hootenanny.
Woo!
Say worms.
Worms!
Worms! Worms!
You're listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio. Brink of Freedom is a community-based network and magazine whose mission is to provide you with the information you need on your walk to freedom. From homesteading and gardening to tactical and firearms, Brink of Freedom provides everything you will need to gain the knowledge to be self-sufficient. If government doesn't like it, Brink of Freedom will cover it. Come share your knowledge and gain the knowledge of industry professionals within the community. Become a premium member and gain access to unlimited content and discounts on products and services from our merchants. Use the discount code FIENDS at brinkoffreedom.net.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
All right. This is Michael Dean, or at least a clone of Michael Dean, inserted by government bagmen. You'll never know. I might be. Who knows? That's like the worst rumor you could start about yourself in Liberty. Well, the worst rumor is usually, you know, that somebody might be a CIA plant or a COINTELPRO agent. you know, you're really nobody in Liberty until someone accuses you of being a federal plant. But I'm going to take it further and imply that I might actually be a clone of Michael Dean implanted by some government agency. So
you actually never know, really.
Maybe I wouldn't know. You know, according to a lot of sci-fi I've seen, maybe they download my brain and tweak it and, you know, upload it to the blockchain and control me remotely. So, Diana, in five more minutes before we bring on hour two and Mark from Canada. Is Mark from Canada at this thing?
I'm not sure. I haven't run into him.
He's a long haul trucker, which basically is just like being a trucker in America, except they're really polite in Canada and don't curse.
Oh my gosh, they are so nice here. I can't believe how nice they are here. They really are. Canadians are super nice.
That's the that's what people say about them, and I guess it's true. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe you need to like step on some feet and see what kind of response. And they'll be like, "Oh, sorry, Governor. Oh wait, I can't do a Canadian accent. I'm sorry, your foot is a boot mine." No, I can't do it. I sound like Terrence and Phillip.
Yeah,
but
I love Terrence and Phillip.
Maybe you need to, you know, push them around a little bit and see if they stay polite. I'm kidding. Okay, so tell me more about this Bitcoin hootenanny you're at in Toronto.
Okay, well, there was one thing that Andreas Antonopoulos.
That sounds about right.
Let's Talk Bitcoin. I loved his talk too. He was on one of the panels that I saw, and he was talking about, you know, what will it be like 10 years from now in rural Philippines? He said there will be two currencies. One will have a Shiba Inu on it.
What's that?
That's Dogecoin.
Okay, the dog. All right.
Yeah.
I love that thing.
And he said the other, an old white lady.
And who's that? The queen?
Yeah, the queen.
Does the Philippines still have the queen on their money?
I'm not quite sure. I assume so, since he said it.
Ben?
So
that's a joke that probably floats well in Canada.
Probably. Because their money has the queen on it. Yeah.
Yep, they have the old white lady on their money. So, and Andrea said one is fixed, decentralized, and incorruptible, and the other has an old white lady on it.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, so the Dogecoin is the fixed, decentralized, and incorruptible. I like that. And then he was talking about voting, and he was saying that, you know, he could vote. He said he can vote for red or blue, but can't vote against Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. And he said he can either vote for militaristic Goldman Sachs red or militaristic Goldman Sachs blue.
That's very true. Very
yeah.
True.
And he said, if those are my only two choices, then you know, F voting. And he said, I vote with my wallet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yep. That sounds good. I like that.
Yeah, I do too. He said that national governments, you know, he was talking a little bit about national governments and how they're too small. He was talking about that we have to be local and global, and that national governments are too small for global decision making and too large for local decision making. So
yeah,
you know, there's not much use for national governments. So
yeah, yep. And when they do things, they end up doing things in force with aggression when there's none needed, with giant amounts of resources. You know, like, I mean, the millions of dollars they've spent to round up this cattle for $1 million tax debt that probably isn't even a real tax debt, and taxes probably shouldn't even really be a debt at all. Now, the Philippines were – I'm looking it up. They were never controlled by the crown. I don't know what he was talking about. Maybe it's adjusted for Canada.
Yeah, it may very well have been.
You know, maybe in America it would be old white guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, old white guys.
The Philippines were controlled by Spain.
Spain, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, he gives a lot of speeches and in a lot of different locations. So it's kind of like, you know, when ZZ Top's in Cleveland, they're like, hey, it's good to be back in Cleveland. And then when they're in, you know, Chicago, it's good to be in Chicago. So it's kind of like a local thing.
And maybe they have it like their roadie puts a piece of tape on the top of their guitar with the name of the town they're in that night. I remember seeing the Circle Jerks in D.C. drunk out of their mind at the 930 Club in the 80s and literally believing this and saying, he said, all right, it's great to be here in Baltimore. All right. Thanks, Diana.
Sure.
Thanks for coming on the show. And you're going to be on Michael Dean After Dark what night? Three nights from now?
Wednesday night.
All right.
Yeah.
See you then. I look forward to it. And
great.
I'm really proud of how you're going on the radio. It's doing good. I pulled you out of the crowd and turning you into a backup singer. And pretty soon you're going to be a lead singer and you'll kick me out and start your own band. That's the plan.
Right on.
All right. Worms.
is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Holla, 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 holla! It's the Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. Say hi, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker.
Hey, Michael Dean. Good to be on your radio show with you.
Good, man. It's the people's radio show. No, it's not, but it's a bunch of people's radio show because Nima's not always here. And next weekend, next Saturday, Nima will be here, but Sunday will be Ben again and Lucander Fien, one of the co-hosts on Michael Dean After Dark. And I have an update from Bill Bupert. He's a friend of ours. He's a co-host on Michael Dean After Dark. He runs ZeroGov.com, and he had a heart attack a couple weeks ago. And he is on the mend and feeling feistier. Not completely 1,000% out of the woods yet, but he will be explaining the whole thing soon in his words, probably on ZeroGov, and I will post it and talk about it on whatever show I'm doing that day. And
our Bill's thoughts a pretty tough.
Go out
He's
to
a pretty
Bill.
Tough guy.
Yeah. Well, so are you. You had a heart failure recently.
Yeah.
Didn't you, Ben? Weren't you in the hospital? How long were you in the hospital?
I went in Friday and came out Tuesday midday.
Yeah. So we have another.
Go ahead, man.
No, over.
I was just going to say, I just about died. You know, it was really close. I mean, it was seriously really close. I didn't actually have a heart attack, but I was down to probably 3-5% heart function. After 24 hours of treatment, they got me up to 10% heart function.
You're not really a libertarian unless you've almost died. Or at least, you know, you're a more interesting one to listen to. And I've almost died before, back in the day, but that was by my own hand. Not suicide, but just now I would never, ever do that. You know what they taught me when I got off of almost dying from drugs almost 20 years ago? They told me in AA, I remember this, you know, they had this anti-suicide thing that they would say. It was not canonical AA. It wasn't in the book or anything, but it was something that went around a lot. I think it probably came out of prison or something, but, you know, crossover from people being in prison. A very common saying in San Francisco AA, though, was don't commit suicide. If you commit suicide, you're killing the wrong person.
Yeah.
That's dark, man. But, you know, it probably keeps people alive long enough to not kill themselves and resent someone else and then get over that resentment. So it's probably a good thing that people say that. So we have someone else on there. We have a long-haul trucker, Mark from Canuckistan, from Canada. How you doing there, Mark?
Oh, I'm good. I'm not all that long, more of a – not that long-haul, more of a regional.
Ah.
I don't go all that far. But yes, I am a truck driver and – why am I here? Well, who knows? We'll see if I can come up with something intelligent to say.
Well, you and Ben talk amongst yourself, and I'm gonna put together my model planes of my. I'm a reenactor. I reenact various battles of the '60s. I reenact the battles of the yippies in Chicago at the Democratic Convention of 1969. I'm working on a diorama of that right now with little toy soldiers. So I'm gonna sit here and accidentally inhale the glue and work on that on my and you know we have a group too. We do reenactments of I'm usually on the yippie side. We do reenactments of the cops versus the yippies. It's kind of like Civil War reenactors, but you know, it's a little more contemporary and you don't have to buy a lot. Most of my clothes will work for the yippie side. So go ahead, you guys, chat.
And everything Michael just said is a lie.
It's a good one, though.
How do you know, Ben? You've never met me. You're going to meet me at Porkfest. I'm going to meet everybody I know, all my virtual imaginary friends I'm going to meet in person soon. But how do you know I'm not a 60s revolution reenactor?
as far as we know, you know, this entire thing is made up in your mind and none of us exist. We could all be leftover.
I could be a computer program at the NSA Supercomputer Center in Utah. I mean, have you ever met me?
Well, we're going to cure that at Port
Man,
Fest.
That's weird radio, starting rumors that I might be a CIA computer program instead of an actual person. That's interesting.
To the listeners,
more interesting than being a clone.
Yeah. All right. So talk amongst yourselves. I got to work on these little toy hippie soldiers.
For the listeners out there, if you actually come to northern New Hampshire, to Lancaster, New Hampshire, to the Porcupine Freedom Festival 2014, you'll get to actually see Michael Dean in real life, real person there. And then you can prove for your own self whether he's a drone or whether he's a clone or whether he's a computer program generated by the NSA or if he's really a former rock star and current radio host. Mark, so in the break, you and I were talking about all the hubbub that's happening in Nevada, and we were kind of talking about some different takes on it. What was it? You kind of explained to me what happened with the tortoises, how they had gathered them up and then couldn't afford to keep them anymore, so they started killing them.
Oh, it was something I'd heard on a recent cast done by Stefan Molyneux, freedomainradio.com, in his Truth About series. The way he explained it is the tortoises, well, obviously we have to protect them. I mean, there's only a gazillion acres of a gazillion acres of grass that they can wander around in, and apparently this rancher has only a very small number of very small number of cattle, which they're in absolutely no danger to the tortoises whatsoever. But somebody in, was it BLM, Bureau of Land Management, has decided otherwise. So some of the tortoises have been gathered up and kept by this agency for safekeeping.
Gather up ye tortoises.
For safekeeping by BLM, and to fund this, they use the money that they're extracting from the ranchers. And of course, this one guy, apparently out of 50 some ranchers that used to be there, he's the last one standing, and they don't and he's not paying, so they don't have the money. So now they can't keep the tortoises. So now they're euthanizing the tortoises that they're protecting. This is the sort of thing that has me wondering. I'm having a hard time telling the difference between onion news and quote real news.
Well, that's,
and I use
that's
real
the government.
News very loosely.
That is the definition of government, is like either creating a situation where two people have to interact in a way that they wouldn't want to interact otherwise, or taking money by force to do something that doesn't need to be done. To do something else that doesn't need to be done. You know, it's kind of, yeah, that's it, man. Go on.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure somebody, sorry, go ahead, Ben.
We all know how dangerous cattle are and how they like to eat every tortoise that they can find, the monsters that they are. You know, they just roam the prairies looking for tortoises to chew on. But, you know, in reality, there's also a myth built into this story that is prominent in America, this idea that money is taken, you know, is stolen from one group under the guise of taxation in any kind of a form. There's, you know, all kinds of different ways that they tax us. And then there's this myth that somehow it goes into this special fund. And if we don't keep taxing that special fund, then the government won't be able to do that one special thing that that fund is for. And that's the entire myth of Social Security. And it's never been that way. It, you know, all the money that the government can steal. Let me back up. You hear this all the time with people who are otherwise very libertarian in thinking, and then they say, "Yes, but we have to have, animal management. We have to have fishing license. We have to have hunting license because it goes back in to support
the
fisheries.
Think of
yeah.
the tortoises.
But in reality, the government doesn't have thousands of separate accounts, one account for the fisheries and one account to save the tortoises and one account. They're just stealing as much as they can all the time. They will constantly, at all times, on all governments, will steal as much as they can get away with all the time. And whatever they spend back out of that is generally only spent to keep themselves in power or to keep up this myth that they're doing good things to justify their existence.
And whatever anyway, they take, it's not enough. It will never be enough. They're always going to demand more.
Exactly. And you coming at this from a Canadian point of view, do you see a lot of that type of activity with the Canadian government? Are there situations where they're land grabbing and forcing people off of traditional lands and so forth?
It's very difficult to be a farmer in Canada, that's for certain. Regulation costs, they just keep getting squeezed. It costs ridiculous amounts of money to comply with all these things. Well, it's a good thing, too, because heaven knows the farmer. What would a farmer know about farming? We need some pencil neck geek with a clipboard to decide that the stall of this cow needs to be half an inch wider or something absurd like that. Well, I'll give you an example. Again, this is something I picked up from Stefan Molyneux, another Canadian. There's the cod fisheries off the coast of Newfoundland, the Atlantic Canada. And for hundreds of years, as long as there's been colonies here, there's been more cod than anyone knows what to do with. Fortunately, the government stepped in to regulate everything. And during the 90s, the cod fishery has been driven almost into extinction. And to this day, showing little or no signs of returning in numbers.
Yeah.
This is one of many examples.
And people want to blame, fishermen for this. But in fact, when the government comes in and sets up a series of rules and says, you're going to do this procedure according to our rules, and you're going to be allowed this many in your limit, and you're going to, well, then the government takes on the responsibility that normally a free market would take care of itself. So it's kind of like what we see in the United States with logging on public land. It's the same kind of a thing. If the logging companies owned the land, they would take care of it, manage it, and replant as they do where they log, where they own the property. But when they don't own the property and the government sets the rules for the logging, all the responsibility leaves the logging industry and goes to the government. And so the government then is never responsible for its actions, so no one's responsible. And so you have overlogging, and the same thing happens with the fishing. The government sets the standard according to what some pencil pusher bureaucrat says. And then when the overfishing takes place, they want to blame it on the fishermen. But in fact, they were following the rules the whole time. And still it was mismanaged, because that's socialism. And socialism can never work because it doesn't have the influence of the price mechanism. The price mechanism is what tells the market what the true price of something is and whether to make more of it or push less of it or to harvest more or harvest less.
Well, here's what a big problem that I see with socialism, and again, an example with the cod fisheries off Atlantic Canada is, well, we have the government here to decide what's best and to manage the fishery. Well, how does that happen? In this case, it became a political football, where I'll give you a bunch more quotas, and I think we're coming into a break. We'll resume this later.
Yeah, we'll be right back with more Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah. This is Michael Dean. I've switched microphones. I did that live during the show. Basically, the reason I did it was to help my back, because my back's been sore lately, and I thought it was, it's because I've been kind of stressed because I'm doing 6 shows a week, but also I was using a mic that has a tighter pattern. I was using the Beta 57A from Shure, and it's a great mic. It has a great sound, but it has a sweet spot, the point in front of it where you sound good and pretty much the same volume that's about the size of a plum. And now I'm using the venerated RE20, the talk radio mic that all radio stations use generally, which is not necessarily a better mic. It doesn't sound, it's like a $500 mic, has a special $150 mic holder, whereas the other one I was using was a $130 Shure mic that has a 99-cent holder. And this mic is giant. But here's the thing about this mic. They've been making them since 1969, and they work. And the reason they're used in radio is because they have a very wide sweet spot, like the size of a basketball. Like right now, I'm about 4 inches off access to the left of it. And that's not me touching my mic. I'm going to turn down the other guys. Okay. That's right now, I'm about 4 inches off access of it. And I still sound almost the same as now, which is right in front of it. So I can be this far off of it and still sound pretty good. Whereas with the Beta, I would be almost, you wouldn't be able to hear me if I was 4 inches off it. It has a very tight pattern, whereas the RE20 has a very wide pattern, but somehow has a very wide pattern, but also rejects a lot of background noise. So it's perfect for talk radio. And I think I've been hurting my back. This is news you can use if you're, I'm trying to make as many Liberty radio people out there as possible. If you have to stick in one place to do radio and not move around a lot, it's going to hurt your back and your neck more. So I put on the other mic. That's why I let those guys just yak the whole last episode. And, then there's condenser mics, which have a really wide pickup pattern, but they're really sensitive and they'll pick up like the truck going by out on the street. And, when you scratch your shirt, when you scratch yourself through the shirt and scratch an itch, it'll pick up the fabric sound really loud. Like I think Mark's doing right now. Are you doing that to demonstrate? I'm hearing a lot of background noise there.
Oh yeah. I was just kind of shifting around, getting comfortable.
And this is a teaching hospital. So, we point out mistakes instead of not pointing out mistakes. No, I'm going to do what they call in the biz, I'm going to throw to Mark and to Mark and Ben right now. So I'm going to throw it to you guys. Go.
Well, during the break, Mark and I were talking about continuing to talk about the fish situation. Yeah, and we kind of blended into that. Mark, pick up what you were talking about there with the fishing situation with the government.
Well, with the fishery off Atlantic Canada, there was, as I said before, there was tons and tons of fish. There was no end of the fish. And then the government stepped in to regulate, and now they're gone, basically gone with very little signs of coming back. There's a small fraction of the number. This is just one of many examples. The way I put it, this is one of the failings of socialism. When something isn't going well, like let's say another good example would be expensive healthcare in America. Oh, we need Obamacare. The first solution is to run to the government. If something's not doing good, we have to run to the government to fix it. And this just baffles me. Why do people expect this to work? This is a group of people who can't find their backsides with both hands and a flashlight. At best, they're incompetent. If you're lucky, you only get an incompetent bureaucrat across the desk from you. But there's so much room for fraud and corruption. Like, for instance, if the government decides to come up build a new roads. Now you're the guy who's like a step or two below, and you have to issue the contracts. Well, next family gathering, there's Aunt Betty sliding up to you saying, "Hey, you got to get your Uncle Larry's construction company in there, so your stupid, lazy, useless cousin can have a cushy job on government expense." And who cares? It's only government money. It just flows from a tap, like with absolutely no end, right? Right.
That's the way they think.
Help.
I'm no fan of Ronald Reagan. He was a horrible statist who pretended to be an anarchist to get elected, like a lot of so-called small government Republicans. He said some great quotes. And one of them is the scariest words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help you." And another great quote of him is, I hope I can get this right. It's something about governments are like the alimentary canal of an infant, an endless appetite at one end and no control at the other.
Wow.
Which is,
that's good.
Yeah. That's a pretty funny joke. So go on.
He did have some pretty, pretty good things to say if he just would have, walked the walk instead of just talking the talk. But that's the case with so many politicians.
He was an actor who was tapped. He used to be a Hollywood liberal Democrat, and he was tapped on the shoulder by his buddy John Wayne, a fellow actor who was a Republican, and said, "The GOP wants you to run. Let's." And then they groomed him and gave him scripts. Yeah, and one of his writers was that anarchist guy that had worked for, what's his name?
Hess,
yeah. Howard Hessman? No. Carl Hess.
listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. And that toe-tapping little feisty punk rock number is a piece by my band, Right Arm of Wyoming, which you can get downloaded all free at michaelwdean.com, which is the show, the site for my other show, Michael Dean After Dark. And that song was called Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector? And it was done in the style of the band Dead Kennedys, who I saw play live July 4th, 1984 at an event called Rock Against Reagan on the Washington Mall. And one of the other bands that played there was called MDC, and MDC stood for Millions of Dead Cops. See, back then, like, that was my anti-authoritarianism thing, was I was into punk rock, and it was real, man. It was scary. It was like MDC played on July 4th at dusk during the fireworks, and the park police tried to stop them and said, you're not going to play that music during our nation's patriotic celebration, where basically the federal government was imposing against citizens who were trying to do something else during the celebrate. The irony is the fireworks are celebrating America going to war against tyrants. And so basically what you have 200 years later is tyrants saying, you have to respect this. And like the punk rockers surrounded the generators and like had it out with, you know, unarmed protesters stopped police from stopping them from doing what they wanted. And that was pretty awesome. We're going to talk about what Mark was doing during the Reagan years. But first, I want to talk about real briefly the most libertarian thing you can do for $15, and that is, I'm not even selling anything. There's a blog post on the Freedom Fiends blog. It's also on creamyradioaudio.com, and it's about getting an engraver and carving your name deep into things you own to further declare your property rights, and I've been doing that with my microphones. And I was going to do it with this RE20 because I finally decided, okay, I'm not going to sell this. I need to keep it. I wasn't going to carve my name in it because I was going to sell it, but now that I decided it's going to save my back from ache, I'm going to keep it. And I was going to do it during the show as a teaching hospital, but my wife advised against carving into this microphone with a diamond-tipped engraver while using this microphone live on the air. She said I should just talk about it. What
that
do you think?
That probably wouldn't sound very good at all.
It would sound like a jackhammer, and it would not be good radio. So go to the Freedom Fiends blog, or go to creamyradioaudio.com and read about the diamond-tipped engraver and my libertarian concepts about the libertarian concept of carving your name into everything you own. All right, so when I was attending Rock Against Reagan when I was 19 in 1984, what was young Mark doing? How old were you, Mark?
That would have put me around 15 then.
And you were a Canadian who backed Reagan. That is so square, man.
I know. Rub it in. Why don't you?
I will.
Yeah, I guess. I know you will. I guess you could call me kind of neocon light. I had my real
neocon. And
party.
To define neocon, it's basically traditionally conservatives had been anti-war and Democrats had been pro-war. And conservatives, they weren't necessarily anti-war, but they were anti-interventionists. Like, we don't want to fight other people's battles and we don't want to spread an empire. And, neocon, I call them, you know, con like con man, but it's neoconservative. Neocons are basically this new breed of conservatives that started, around the late 70s. And it's basically conservatives that were like, we don't want to spend a dime of taxpayer money on anything except killing people all over the world and expanding the empire. And, you know, they say, there's a saying, if you support the empire abroad, be prepared to have it used on you at home. And that's what we're seeing now with these police departments, local police departments, getting all these machines of war, these tanks with wheels, these full automatic assault weapons, you know, switchfire AR-15s that are machine gun and burst fire and single shot. And they're basically training for war against the American people. And part of that training is like pulling you over to traffic stop and treating it like Checkpoint Charlie, like it's Nazis throwing you to the ground for, you know, any things that used to be officer friendly kind of situations. And that's what we're up against here. First of all, okay, you liked Reagan. You were really, really square as a young man. Is that stuff happening in Canada?
It varies. Immediately post 9/11, of course, there's the big fervor to, you know, a lot of people got swept up in that.
Well, an interesting thing is, there was actually another terrorist from the Middle East coming in to join the 9/11 people or do something else around that time, who was actually stopped by a border patrol at the border of Canada and the U.S. Not a lot of people know about this. And I forget the lady's name, but her last name was Dean. I'm wondering if she's some distant relative of mine who actually did her job and stopped a terrorist just by being a border guard and like, you know, instead of saying, you have a Bitcoin t-shirt, we're going to give you a butt search, you know, actually like detected a terrorist quietly and calmly and stopped him from entering the U.S. to do some terrorism. And it was some, like, you know, some lady whose last name was Dean. I don't know if she's a relative of mine, but did you ever hear that story?
Actually, no, I did not. I guess that shows the broken clock can be right twice a day.
Yeah, well, she was probably a Canadian border guard, so, you know, they didn't make a big deal out of it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so go on with your love of Reagan.
Well, love might be a little too much, but I think my entire life, I've been pretty much a good little ANCAP and anarcho-capitalist all my life. I just didn't realize it until, well, about a couple of years ago. I've never trusted government and authority, like even right back to days in school. I think Ben, did you and I have some of the same teachers? I heard you talk in some of your casts where teachers would go on and you'd be thinking, this person's an idiot. And I've had many such moments in my life. If they weren't the same teachers, they were cut from the same bolt of cloth. But you know, we're in charge. We run things. And I thought, well, you can't find your backside with both hands and a flashlight. What do you think? You're going to tell me how to run my life? So I've never really trusted big top-down central authority. I just never really thought it out or thought it through. So my political leanings were to the right because they would talk the talk, and I emphasize talk, about reducing government and reducing authority and not interfering with us so much and let business work. And I thought, yay. So as a result, I voted conservative, or for a while the political right was known as the Progressive Conservative Party, which, wow, now that I think about it, that is so Orwellian, isn't it? And it's just they got rid of that.
Peaceful War Party or the Warlike Peace Party or something.
Pretty much. So in Canada, what we have now is the Conservative Party that's in charge, and the Liberals, which would be like our Democrats, are in opposition. So, and it flips back and forth. And this is part of what sort of sunk into my head, too, is it flips back and forth between these two, and nothing ever changes. Now, and especially in the mid-90s, the Canadian government under Liberal slash Democrat at the time, the Canadian government actually did some serious cuts in that point, because it was to the point where 40 some cents of tax revenue was going to service debt, which is just completely unsustainable, obviously. And a lot of big cuts were made actually under Liberal governments. That should be a conservative thing, but what do we know? As I said to a dog park friend the other day, the left is more right than the right used to be, and the right is more left than the left used to be. So therefore, there is no left or right. And I just got this stunned incomprehension moment, then this, oh yeah, light bulb over her head. But I kind of digress there. Yeah, I've never really trusted central, big, top-down authority. You know, I am the voice from above, and I will tell you what to do. I will run your life. No, thank you. I just leave me alone, man. Let me do my thing. If I'm not bothering anybody, leave me alone.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking of The Who when you were saying that in their one song where it says, you know, we won't be fooled again. And the phrase is, their beards have all grown longer overnight. And, you know, in comes the new boss, same as the old boss. We won't be fooled again. And yet we're fooled every time. It repeats itself every over time. And over and over. They complain. They say, oh, you know, if you just elect me, get me in there, I'll fix these things. I'm totally on your side. I'm sympathetic with what your
problems
are. Vote
for me and I'll set you free.
Yeah. And then, you know, they come in and it's the same song. It's the same story. They're right back in there doing the same kind of stuff, just with a different label. And then the other guys, all of a sudden, they grow their beards long overnight. And they're like, hey, no, we're with you. We're the ones who are going to save you from this evil government. Well, you know, and it never changes. Nothing significant ever changes.
That's right. Won't get fooled again. Wrong. We do get fooled again. You know, we collectively.
Well, yeah, actually, there's a line in that song, too, that's almost better. The won't get fooled again. We do. People do get fooled again and again and again. The real key line in that song is meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
You know, and this goes to, there's another line in this, since we're talking about that wonderful song. There's another line in it that says that the shotgun rules. There's the inference that a revolution would just, you know, if we just had a revolution, that'd fix it. But the problem is history has proven over and over and over that when you have a revolution, all you do is exchange one boss for the other and out go the bad guys and in come the good guys, except the good guys are exactly like the bad guys and oftentimes worse.
Yeah. And speaking of people getting fooled again, like I basically learned to distrust the government from listening to that band Dead Kennedys I mentioned. They have so many songs that would be so true now that were written 25 years ago, including things about like sending soldiers into Afghanistan to serve Wall Street. I mean, that's happening again, you know? So, but there's a line, the song Riot, which talks about the stupidity of, you know, rioting in a protest and how it's usually a COINTELPRO agent. There's a line in there, I'll slip on a wig and see if I can start a riot. It's from the viewpoint of a government agent who's trying to blend in with the hippies who are loud but peaceful. And then the agent puts on a wig, slips in the crowd and starts throwing rocks at the police to start a riot so they can just kill everybody and shoot them and mace them and club them and arrest them. And there's a line in that one, shotguns prod into your belly. Their trigger fingers want an excuse. And, you know, it's as true then as it was now in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, and I think Jello Biafra, the hilariously named singer in that band, I think he would definitely not. I know his politics. First of all, he hated Reagan and he hated Reagan's policies. But he wants now he gives speeches and talks about how he wants government to fix things. And I don't know how he thinks it's any different with a D after the name than an R after the name, you know. I mean, Obama is just Reagan, but slicker, you know? And Obama was not a friend of the businessman or the free market, the small businessman at all. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
MeowBit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. MeowBit works on all browsers,
.bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address in our free software, MeowBit. Go to meowbit.com. That's MEOWBIT.com.
Freedom Fiends, blasting concentric, parenthetical, hypertextual conversations into your cerebral cortex by direct electronic injection. And we are at the final tweak and review section of the Freedom Fiends here. I want to say Bill Bupert, who is on the mend, he's one of the co-hosts on Michael Dean After Dark, is going to be calling in tonight to give an update on his health on the first hour of Michael Dean After Dark. And you can listen on the GCN feed or one radio station in Cairo, Illinois, and on the LRNs, on the LRN feed. And you can also get it later from Michael Dean After Dark website, which is michaelwdean.com. You know, I want to welcome a new station. We actually have a new station that we want to welcome here. In South Carolina, the station is, I'm looking it up. I should have it. I got to look into my notes here. And Ben, we're on 25 stations now. We are adding today WQXL AM 1470 and FM 95.9. That's WQXL in Columbia, South Carolina. 11,000 watts of tyranny-busting goodness. And I want to thank Chris there for putting us on and being brave to put some real programming on the radio, like the Freedom Fiends, because, you know, not everybody gets it. And a lot of people just want to hear the same old tired solutions. And then in the next 3 minutes, we're going to talk about real solutions. So, Ben, real quick, what do you got about tyranny and those cows?
Yeah, well, thinking of, you know, we were talking earlier about we won't be fooled again and how we are. I mean, not maybe not we are, but people tend to be fooled over and over by the same thing, that if they just replace the man that's in there with another great man, that somehow that guy will fix it. And the con just goes on and on and on. And we see what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, do you think if you get Harry, I mean, Alex Jones broke this story of how it's probably Harry Reid doing backdoor deals with the Chinese government to put in, you know, solar farms on this land. Do you think if they get Harry Reid out and put in some small government Republican, that either the NSA isn't going to say, okay, we have pictures of you cheating on your wife, or do you think the Chinese government isn't going to come in with a truckload of gold and get the same deal? I mean, I think that's physically impossible. I think they're going to use either a carrot or a stick to do it with whoever is in there, if that person is in such a critical backroom deal seat.
Well, to use an extreme example, government is very much like cancer, and treating the symptoms of government, you know, like if the symptom of cancer is that you have an itchy spot on your arm, if you don't treat the cancer, you're going to have a very serious problem on your hands. But if you treat the cancer by just putting a numbing agent on the spot on your arm so that you can't feel it, you're not fixing anything. You're just putting it off until a later time.
Yeah, you have to cut the tumor out and poison it with chemo. Now, to bring this analogy full circle in the next couple of minutes, what is the chemo and the cutting out of the tumor of government? What does that look like?
Well, first you have to realize what the, you know, that as we've talked about so many times, the government is based on
You have to get out of your denial. You know, basically trying to fix the government is a heroin addict saying, I'm going to buy the heroin from Chico instead of the heroin from Rico, or I'm going to stop doing heroin and just smoke crack because I could do that socially. I mean, basically, if you're an addict, you're an addict, and you can never do the drugs again. And government is very much like an addict in that it just pours in money. It's never enough. It can never have enough. And it goes through really scary withdrawals if it's without its power for even a second, or if its power is even threatened. Like, you know, you had county government people in Nevada telling those protesters, you better bring body bags if you're coming in here, basically saying, we will kill you if you come in and protest in favor of this guy. And a lot of these people, I see all these like Second Amendment solutions, guys coming in with their rifles, militias, and then like being stopped by federal agents and they're saying, you have to take your magazines out of your gun if you come in here. And they're still coming in. Is that – that is not the Second Amendment, man. The Second Amendment, George Washington would have shot those guys. And I'm not saying they should shoot those guys. I'm saying just don't give them the power. Just don't think there's a solution to voting in different guys. Get off the merry-go-round of the stupidity of trying to fix government and just don't give it your mental support. That's the best start you can have, right, Ben?
Yeah, and Michael, thanks for having me on the show today.
Yep, and thank you, Mark, for being on.
I enjoyed it.
Worms. Say worms, everybody.
Worms. Worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.